Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the hottest blog talk show, the Barbershop. We're back. Been taking a break, but I thank God for restoring the Barbershop. We ain't been nowhere. We just had to sit back and relax and get renewed and get refreshed. There's a lot of things going on. So now we're back. We're here to stay. So the one who thought the Barbershop was done, surprise, your boy, your host, Deacon Chanker Owen, back in effect with the Barbershop. Hope everyone had a blessed weekend. Hope everyone had a blessed day. Went and got that word today. But we need that word or to survive. And again, I thank everyone for your support. Your love is well appreciated. And, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I do thank you. You know, really, truly, I do. Because without you guys having given me that support and without God, you know, this would be impossible. But I know it's possible. God had his hands on. He got his hands on me. And, you know, I just want to welcome you all for the first time to the Barbershop. You know, this is a block talk show for me where we can open up, we can vent, we won't be judged, we won't bash across the head with a bunch of scriptures, you know, because that's who we are, you know. We're here to help, not to beat our brothers up. We're not here to do that, you know, but we're here to encourage them, lift them up. And like again, I said, you know, we're here to love on them. So no matter what you do, what you say, one thing about it, you can't stop us from loving you. You know, because that's what God called us to do, is to love y'all, love our neighbors, you know, love our brothers and sisters, you know, like we would love ourselves, you know. And I thank y'all for a while, but I'm so excited. It feels just like my first show, you know, real exciting, you know, and I hope, you know, we be able to touch somebody today, touch a lot of hearts, you know. Again, we're going to have some Q&A, you want to make a comment or whatever, it's fine, you know. Like I said, we here. The Barbershop is back. We're coming full strong for 2016. It's going to be some upcoming stuff that's going to be new. That's going to blow your mind. I'm not going to tell you, but just be prepared. The Barbershop. You know, like we always do, we like to get started with a prayer. And we're going to read a couple of scriptures. And we're just going to get into the topic. You know, again, welcome. I thank you for your love and support. Now, let's get with honor. Let's get on to one. Honor, Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving the activities our limbs. We thank you for being who you are, not for what you do, just for who you are. Because if it weren't for you, God, we would be nothing. Without you, God, we wouldn't be here. God, you are everything to us, God. And we thank you for everything that you have done. God, we want you to just reach out and touch the homeless right now, God. We want you to touch the family that just lost a loved one as we speak right now, God. We want you to touch the young folks, God. Touch their mind, their spirit, God. We're asking you to just come in and show up, God. We know we're living in our last days, God, but we want you to touch all the men right now across this world, God, that's listening on the phone, that's listening on the internet. Even the ones that's not listening, God, we want you to touch their heart and steer them to the right place where they can hear some encouraging words from some true brothers who love, who show compassion and love to our own brothers, God. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, because we know you're the head of our life, God. We know you're in control. You have the last say, God. God, when you put your hands on something, God, we know it's going to be possible. We know it's going to happen. So, God, your word is true, God. If it cuts like a knife, God, then we know your word is true, God, but we thank you. God, we want you to bless the ones who's unemployed right now. God, we want to bless the ones, again, that's homeless, don't have nowhere to go, God. We want you to bless the women that's been abused and domestic violence. We want you to bless these young kids who are out here on the drugs, God. We want you to just reach out and touch them, God. We want you to touch the men hard, God, to send them out there to the streets, Lord Jesus. God, we come to you right now, God, with an open heart, with an open mind, God. We're asking you to just take control of the show right now, God. We want you to let the Holy Spirit just flow, God. We want you to let the Holy Spirit take over, God. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, God. Wherever we are at, God, you send your angels to cover us right now, God. Give the folks traveling mercy right now, traveling down the highway. Keep them. God, we want you to touch them right now, God. There's a threat coming, God. We want you to slow them down, have them go another way, God. We want you to bless them young folks out there, God, that's toting them guns, selling drugs, God. Touch their heart, shake them up, God, and bring them back, God. We want you to give us men the strength, God, that we can lay on and we can be soldiers for you, God, and stand on the word, God, and take our communities back, take our youth back, take our government, God, even take our churches back, God. We want you to bless the churches right now. The evil things that's in there, God, we want you to rebuke them and release them right now in the name of Jesus. God, I want you to touch everyone that's on this show right now. God, touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, God. I want you to send them blessings throughout their life, God, their finances, their home, even touch their kids, God, even touch their marriage to the ones who are married, to the ones who are single. God, you know the heart, what their heart desire, God. We know you are in control. God, we count on you. We love you, God, expecting you to do what you normally do, to show up and show out. God, without you, we are nothing, God. We thank you today, God, for the small things, God. We appreciate what you do because you don't have to do it, God, but you do it because you love us. We thank you here at the barbershop for giving us that compassion, love, to love one another, to reach out and help one another. Without you, God, where would we be? God, you paid it all, God, for us to have a freedom, for us to do what we need to do. So God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Evening, good evening. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all got to forgive me while I heard that. You know, been a while. I had a fighting day today at church. The Spirit was up in the church. Heavenly Spirit has been in my office today. I've been listening to some gospel music, just sitting back and relaxing, and I've been so excited about this show today. Again, to the ones who are just calling in, this is the Hottest Bob Talk Radio Show for men, the barbershop. We thank you for your love and support. We thank you for coming to hear what we have to say. You know, we thank you. We got to get ready to go to our scripture, Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. 11, do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I just read Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12. To the unit of 10, this is your boy, your host, Deacon China. I'm coming live from the Bible Shop. And today's topic is, brother, don't let depression keep you from your joy. Again, brother, don't let depression keep you from your joy. So, God, I was just going to let the Holy Spirit take over, let the Holy Spirit do what it want to do in me through this show today. And I just can't stop praising God for all the things he has done and what he's going to do. I don't know about y'all, but God has been good to me. And if anyone out there has called me before we get started, if God has been good to you, press one. And let the people on the radio and on the internet, let them know what God has done for you. If you just want to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, you know, for me, I know God has, it's been a blessed weekend for me. I went to a men's conference yesterday, got fed good, had a good day today in church. God came in and showed out. And as you can tell right now, that Spirit is on me right now. I love it when that Spirit is in me. I can feel the Spirit in my office right now. If God being good to you, like I said, press one. Let the people know how good God has been to you. You know, he's amazing. We can't do nothing without God. I don't care what you say or what you do. You cannot tell me we can't do nothing without God. We can't. I don't know about y'all, but I can't. And I thank him every day when I wake up in the morning for his presence, for his love, for him just being who he is. You know, not for what he do and can do, but just for who he is, for what he went through. You know, God died for us. He took a whole lot of beating, a whole lot of trash talk, all the people, you know, for us. Well, like I said, I thank God for who he is, what he's doing in my life, my family life. And God is doing some marvelous things in your life. If you don't know who God is, you still have a chance to get to know him, have a relationship with him. You have the chance to get to know him, do it. He's been a blessing in my life. With that being said, caller 6317, you on the air. Hello?
What's happening, Deacon Chauncey?
What's happening, Roman Rome?
Not much. Just sitting back, taking it easy and taking in the show. Glad it was back on the air.
Oh, yeah. We back. You know, like I said, we had to take a break, get refreshed. And this, even though I've been doing it 6 months, it feels like the first show. I feel nervous just like I did with the first show, but I know it's the Holy Spirit. But like I said, it's an awesome day in church today. The Spirit was up in there, and it's been on me since I came home from church. I just couldn't wait to get on this show, you know. A lot of people have been asking where if they have it gone to the side or they ain't doing this. Y'all just don't know. Sometimes we have to take a break and let God deal with us himself. And that's what I've done. But you can best believe we here. The barbershop is back. I got my road dog up here. Y'all folks in trouble. Brothers, y'all better get y'all stuff prepared. Put the seatbelt on, whatever you want to lock yourself down in the tail, wherever you live, you better get ready. You know, because we to have some fun, you know, like we always do. We're not here to bash nobody. We're here to love on you, like I said before. You can get mad at us all you want to, but one thing you can't do, you cannot stop us from loving you. You can't. You can try your best, but it won't happen. It truly won't happen. You can't stop us from loving. And you can do what you want to do, say what you want to say. But here at the barbershop, you can't stop me, Deacon Thomas, or you can't stop wrong. You can't stop us two for loving. You can't do it. You can run, but like that, you can run, but you can't hide. Not from our love we got on the barbershop. And I want to congratulate Ron proposing to the new future Miss Pittman. With the new baby girl, Jordan. If y'all haven't seen that little pretty baby there, boy, y'all missed something there. If you want to see God blessed, you got to look at little baby Jordan Pittman. She's a beautiful, she's a doll, baby. My little niece. She's adorable.
I tell you, God is good, brother. He is good.
Yes,
and,
he is. Yes, he is.
I don't know if I told you, but you know she's premature, and she was supposed to be born this past Friday, the 6th. But she was 2 months early. Was born 31 weeks and was born healthy. When she was born, the doctors couldn't understand it. The nurses couldn't understand it. While this baby was in the shape and condition that she was in, and was aware of what was going on. You know, when a lot of times when babies is premature, they got to put them on oxygen, you know, to help them breathe until their lungs and everything is fully developed. They had to keep them on oxygen. They had to do anything to them. I told them, I said, now y'all watch God. I even told them, I said, you know, they put it in the NICU, you know, because something they got to go through when they're born. And I told them, I said, I'll give you 3 weeks. They try to keep her there until her due date, which would have been 2 months. I said, the devil is a lie. I told the nurse, I said, I'd give her 3 weeks, she's coming home. And don't you know, in 3 weeks, she came home. And doing great. She was born. She was born. She weighed 3.5 pounds, Chauncey. And we took her to the doctor Friday for her initial checkup, got her shots, and they weighed her. She weighed about 8 pounds now. Now look at God. Look at God. When men think they got to say so, God got to final say so. So, you said earlier that to anybody that wants to give God thanks and give God praise, I give God all the glory and all the praise for what he's doing and what he has done in my life, for my baby girl, and also too for my future Mrs. Pittman.
Amen.
And you know you're gonna be right there when it's time. So people ask me, so when the date is, you know, that's the lady thing. She's doing all that stuff, and when you think what the date is, I'll be glad to let you know, and you get your tuxedo ready.
Oh, I got to be ready. Well, I told y'all, God is good. Anybody else out there want to chime in and let us know how good God is? You better open up your mouth like they tell you at church. It's just them all the time. Say something. You know, because I'm excited, you know. I did that stuff. I was watching. I said, oh, it's going on. I said, ooh, wait. Then he stepped back and they don't do what it's going to do. You know, we got to get God to praise and honor and glory. Because, like I said, without God, you know, we got to. You know, but I thank God, you know, for all he has done in my life. You know, as y'all know, he passed away about 2 months now that Bruce been gone. You know, it still feels strange. But you know what? I know he's in a better place. You know, and he don't have to work no more. You know. And I talked to him, you know, been talking to his father the other day when he sent me a text message asking me for email for him. You know, when you do what God called you to do and what you're doing, and then somebody just tell you they appreciate what you're doing, it makes you feel good. I know it do, because that's my flesh and blood. You know, one day he'll tell his testimony, but I was just doing what God called me to do. You know, just be there for him. You know, been plenty of time my cousin saw me praying because he missed his brother. I didn't turn my back on him. He had been drinking. You know, but like I told him the other day we were talking, I felt you crying out for help, and other people just looked at you like, oh, he just drunk. No, crying out for help, and for him to call me the other day and tell me he appreciates the things that I said to him, been sticking beside him. You know, man, I wish I could tell that testimony. But one day I'm going to have him on the show and let y'all hear his testimony. But I know prayer will work. You know, because me and my family, me and my wife, we've been praying for him. We've been praying for my cousin. We've been praying for him. You know, I don't want to see nobody go through what Bruce went through. You know, the whole ordeal of God was just dealing with me and telling me, I'm going to use you mighty. I'm going to use you to touch your family. Use you to touch everybody that's there. And when I tell you God touched me and had me to do that, I got my shout on. I told everybody, it's a homegoing. This ain't no funeral. You know, it's a homegoing. I got my shout on, and God gave me 3 words to tell my family. It's God, family, and relationship. That's what he wants from us. God, family, relationship. That's what he calling for. Because whether you believe it or not, God created a family first before he created a church. Ministry starts at home. If we can't take care of our home, what makes you think we're going to be able to have a church or the people that come in? You know, that touched my heart, and that's all I've, you know, I've been posting that on Facebook ever since that day before then. So I'm like, you got to tell everybody God, family, and relations. Because you got a problem with one of your cousins or your aunt sister. God don't like that. He don't like it. You can do something that can happen tomorrow. And one of your family members just talk. Next thing you told one of your family members, you forgive them. Because tomorrow's not promised. So we have to tell our family from God. We're going to have something down there. That's a part of being in a relationship. Like holding grudges, being hateful to one another. You ain't seen it is when you could have made it right. One of you got to be the bigger person. You know, like I said, my cousin told me that voice has made me cry, and I know the prayer of a righteous prayer much. When you believe God, you pray to God, He will do what He said He will do. But like I said, that day, I'm going to let my cousin tell his testimony. I just did what God told me to do. Plant seed in the rest. That's all I've done. I planted a seed, cultivated, encouraged him, loved him, told him how much I love and care for him. When he called, I answered. When I was busy, I called him back. That's what you call. That's what you tell when you be there for somebody, regardless of whether it's family or not. That's what God called us. God called all of us to be in ministry, to encourage somebody. We never know what somebody's going through. You never know. We can just say one thing to make them feel so good, they'll open up and tell everything. You know, that is what it is. Whew, now I got that off. Let's dig in and see what we can get out of this. But brothers, don't let depression keep you from your joy. We can't do it. It's not of God. It's the demonic spirit. And I was doing some research. And it said, let me find it. I didn't realize there was all types of depression. I thought depression was depression. I found one, it was a bipolar depression, postpartum depression, psychotic depression. That's like three, but you know, it's, when I looked up, it was like nine of them. And I did some research, it said 5 million men in the United States experience depression each year. Can you imagine? 5 million men have experienced depression. So can you imagine 5 million men gave their life to Christ each year? How strong the kingdom would be. Depression is dark. That's what I want. The first thing I think about depression is being in a dark, staying to yourself. You know, you don't want to talk to nobody. You just beating yourself up and thinking negative things. And you don't lost your hope, but it's still hope. If God wake you up the next morning, it's still hope for you to get rid of that depression. Just go to God and ask God to deliver you from that depression. Because believe me, the joy that God can give you, can't no man on this face of this earth give you the joy that God can. You can't. I don't know no man that can give me no joy like God can. Ain't no woman can give me no joy like God can. God is the only one that can give us joy. He can give you so much joy, but you will know what to do with it. Two of my brothers that's out there, you know, going through some stuff, and depression is real. It's real. You get depressed, you get the drinking, you know, you just quit doing what you normally do. You just let, you know, you let everything go. Don't want to cut your hair, don't want to take a bath, don't want to brush your teeth, you don't want to go to work. Depression is no joke, to the point where they get so depressed, they just commit suicide. It ain't, I just don't call me along, but depression, I mean, what do you think about it? Yeah, I mean, it's mind boggling to me that, but it happens. People get to the point where they get so distressed with that depression. Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I got the service kind of getting kind of bad out here, so I had to move around a little bit so I can get somewhere we can hear each other. Well, yeah, what I was saying about depression, well, I mean, you know, that's pretty much a mind thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about when the devil sit on one shoulder and God sit on the other shoulder, and if you had a relationship with Christ, then you end up listening to the wrong voice, and you think it's God, and it's the devil. And sitting on your shoulder and putting a bunch of negativity in your ear, got you thinking that nobody love you, got you thinking you don't even love yourself, and then cause you to think a whole lot of negative things to cause you to go into a state of what they call depression. And all that is what people's mindset need to get right, and they need to get a relationship with Christ. And so he can come in and show them what real and true love is all about. First of all, if you don't love yourself first, how can you love somebody else?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, that's a problem I see when people go into a state of depression. Some folk want to say maybe it was a chemical.
And I lost you over there. Hopefully, Ron will come back in. He got a little technical difficulty. But we're going to keep going. But when he comes back. I looked at depression, I looked the word depression up, it gave me some word despair, gloominess, gloomy, misery, and it's the feeling of dejection and hopelessness. But then, like I said, the topic is, brothers, don't let your depression keep you from your joy. And I looked up the word joy. Remember what I said, depression was, it's despair, misery, feeling of dejection and hopelessness. But joy is delight, happiness, pleasure. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And our pastor was teaching the series, Got Fruit. And man, can you believe, I mean, depression, despair, misery. Hopeless, like Jerome said, even had you to the point where you thinking, don't nobody love you, you can't do this. And sometimes you gotta look at it too. People put so much on you, and you just get so overwhelmed. And once you realize that you can't do all the stuff that's being placed on your shoulders, you get into a state of depression. And a lot of men get depressed more than women because it's the older men asserted they commit suicide because of depression. Older men are at the highest risk of suicide. You know, depression. You know, you get to drink and get high. You know, like I said, you just want to let yourself go if you don't feel like being here anymore. You know, which is, that's, I mean, I pray to God I never get in that stage of depression. And, you know, like I said, God got so much joy to give us. I don't want no depression. You know, hold on. Go ahead, Ron. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back now.
I was just going on carrying on what you were saying about depression. You know, it's a sick of mind game. You know, and like I was telling them, you know, I looked up the word depression. It means despair, misery, feeling of dejection and hopelessness. And then I was giving them the definition of joy. And that's where I came in with what God gave me that was, don't let your depression keep you from joy, which is His joy, which is delight, happiness, pleasure, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, like I said, God can give us so much joy, it can blow our socks off our feet that we won't be able to handle. But, you know, just like you were saying, a lot of people, including women too, women get in that depressed stage too now. Believe me, they do. But they're not, men are more likely to really carry out those suicide thoughts than women. But women get depressed too. You know, I was looking at some of the stuff you say you could tell when a person, the signs of depression, it was they sleep too much or too little, pain, loss of focus, they angry, they stressed, stuffed at the beach, sexual dysfunction, and they got suicidal thoughts. You know, that what depression would do to you. Suicidal thoughts. I mean, you really have to be, that mind has to really be gone then when you feel like, hey, ain't nothing for me to do, gone. Do myself in. I just don't get that. I mean, somebody got to help me with that. You know, that's why I pray it on, you know, who's everyone that's listening, that's called in, or the ones that's on the internet. I was telling somebody today they was going through some stuff, and this morning God had woke me up real early than I normally do, and had me start reading Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom. Only thing you got to do is ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you. We have to change our minds, because if we let the enemy get in, that's all he wants is our mind. Our mind is a battlefield for Satan. Just like Ron said, you got Satan sitting on one side, and you got God sitting on the other side. Then if you don't have a relationship with God to really understand His voice, Satan can sit there and speak just as well too. He was in heaven before. So he know what to do. He knows everybody's weakness, men and women. He knows what our weakness is. If he can get in our mind, that's when he's going to do his work. He don't care if you stomp your toe, twist your arm, or, you know, he don't care. He want that mind. Because if you realize, this thing, when the farmer cut a chicken head off, they'll run around for a little bit, but all of a sudden, boom, they fall dead. Just like with a snake. You catch one, and you cut his head off, he'll move around for a little bit, but all of a sudden, he gonna stop. So that's why Satan does what he does, because he want our mind. But, you know, I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about people on drugs and drink. That's a mind thing. Same thing with depression. It's a mind thing. You know, it's because you really have to have a strong mind and the willingness and the focus to say, you know what, enough, I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. I'm going to find this out. My testimony, if you don't know my testimony, yeah, I was strung out on drugs. I got to the point where it was a mind game. I know it was not by the end. But when it got to the point where I was like, hold up, wait a minute. I keep coming home, don't know how I got in the house. I know when I wake up in the morning or the middle of the night, I'm in my bed with clothes on. I'm still high. I don't know how I got in. I know how I got there, but I don't know how I got in and out. I don't know how I got out. My boy car, my boy truck, or whoever brought it, I don't know how I got out and got in the house. But when I woke up, I was in the house. And I was telling somebody, I don't care if you think about drinking on the weekend, getting high on the weekend, oh, that's just nothing. I don't do it during the week. It don't take much to tear your mind off of it. Just like they said, when you go to the club, when we was out there, when I know what I was out there in the world, you can have a drink and you put it down and you come back, you don't mess with that drink. Because somebody will put something in that drink and just tag your nerves, tag your mind all the pieces. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants our mind. Satan has got people to the point now where they're so depressed, first thing they want to do, they're going to kill themselves. But you don't have some family members or folks, friends telling you, well, you are not going to mount or nothing. As you keep hearing it over and over, it's like you got a tape on replay. You just keep the plan. It keep going on. You hear the same thing. You're going to get to that point where you're going to start thinking that. And that's when Satan will creep in. When you keep hearing this, all of a sudden you get depressed. Depression is real. It goes along with the last two topics I talked about, with the men, your pride, your egotism. Now we're talking about depression. All three of these are about addiction. All three of them are spirit of Satan. It will take you out. But you got a lot of people that find this to the point where they cry out for help, and people just look at them, they high, they drunk. They really don't care. Oh, we already know that's what he do when he get drunk. He want to call and cry, or she want to call and cry. But really, yeah, they crying, but they not crying because they drunk. They crying really inside because they want out. They want help. But the first thing we do, we are drunk. Call me back when you sober up. What if when you get off the phone with us and they do something, like I said, they in that state of depression and they blow their brains out or they overdose on pills. Next day you find out when the whole while they was crying out to you. You denial.
See, Chauncey?
Mm-hmm.
See, depression is the way of the world. See, depression is the way is the way of the world. It's not of the spirit of Christ. And nine times out of ten, where depression come about is because we connect ourselves to people that are uneducated in the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? And we always go to people that really can't help us.
Right.
We sit and we tell our problems to people that's in the same situation that we in. And we're in the same situation. If somebody's in the same situation that you and I in, how can they help us?
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying? And people don't have the mind of Christ. They don't have the heart of Christ. They don't have any compassion. They don't know how to help one another. Instead of helping one another, they're hurting one another. We even take it to so-called Christians. Okay, which you were talking a while ago about alcohol, about drinking and stuff like that. See, what the context of what folks get twisted about alcohol. Now, see, Jesus turned water into wine.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying? And the Bible speaks that you can drink alcohol, wine, or beer, or whatever the case may be, but don't overindulge. Don't become drunken, because when you become drunken, then that's offset your mind. Then to have your mind offset to where the devil come in and infiltrate and have you thinking and doing things that you don't need to be doing, and then you end up bringing extra things into your life that's negative that don't need to be brought into it. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And also, too, the Bible even speaks that you drink a glass of wine. If you drink a glass of wine daily, it'll hit with your digestive system. Also, Chauncey, a beer. If you were to drink a beer, if that's what you want to drink a beer a day, it'll help with your bladder. Keep your bladder flush.
Uh-huh.
You can do these things as long as you don't overdo it, as long as it don't over-influence your well-being of doing things.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you got a problem with alcoholism, then you don't need to be doing it, period. You understand
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? Because that's your weakness. But you got people out here so far in the church because they see an individual doing a certain thing, then they beat them down and tear them up. You understand what I'm saying? And then that causes people to go in a state of being, because if you beat a person down so much and call them names, and then after a while, if they ain't strong enough, they're going to eventually believe it.
Uh-huh.
And then that take them into a state of depression, where, because everybody want to be loved.
Uh-huh.
When you don't show individual love, then they around here, they lost. You understand what I'm saying? Because when we first born brought into this world, our mother is our first love, to show us love and compassion. And a lot of times
uh-huh.
when the individuals grow up and come up and let's say God called their parents, their mother home. And then they missing that motherly love, and then they start looking for love in all the wrong places. We start looking for love in a male or female, in a friend, or where it is nowadays, in the street.
Uh-huh.
And we end up looking to the wrong place for love, where there is no love, and they end up being dogged out, chewed up, and spit out. You understand what I'm saying? So then it can uh-huh. morale down. And then when their morale is tore down, then they go into a state of depression, feeling like, don't nobody love me. That's the number one thing right there is love. People around
uh-huh.
here searching for love in all the wrong places, and all they need to search, all they got need to do is seek the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness will be added upon them, because Jesus is love. So that's what
uh-huh.
causes people to go out here and hooking themselves up with the wrong people that's tearing them down and making them feel any old sort of way. See, when you're weak, you're weak. Okay? Especially when you don't know the word of God. Even when you become saved, you still a babe in Christ. So you still weak. I don't care. Until you get strong enough in Christ and get the Holy Ghost in you, then you still can fall sick. So
uh-huh.
it wasn't it. That's why you're supposed to be equally yoked in your doing. If you trying to live for Christ, you don't need to be hanging out with sinners. If you're a married man, you don't need to be hanging out with a single man. Because they can easily influence you to go back instead of you influencing them. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says that Rachel said everything that's not holy. If you're going to live holy, then you got to hang around holy people or be by yourself. If you want in the earthly realm, if you want to be positive and want to direct your footsteps in a positive way, you can't keep hanging around Pookie and them. You understand what I'm saying? You can't keep hanging around in the project, because the project is what it is. Your mindset got to change. Your footsteps got to change. About to be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Your mindset got to change in order for you to come out the state of being, which is depression, because it's all levels of depression. You understand what I'm saying? It's so it's either from being depressed to being moping around and dwelling in your ways and don't know no way out, trying to do the best you can, to the point where it's suicidal. See, it starts somewhere. It's all different levels. So we're out here, we going through, we ain't got no money to pay our bills, and we ain't got no money to do this. It'll take you into a state of depression. You understand what I'm saying? But if you see Christ, provider of all providers, he's going to do exactly what he say he can do, but you got to know how to create a relationship with the Father. You understand what I'm saying? So the Father can do what he already done everything that he was going to do in our lives. He waiting on us, Johnson, to let him come in and do that for us. So until people can get their mindsets renewed, brother, get their mindset renewed according to the Holy Spirit, then we're subject to fall into a state of depression, whether it's long-term or monetary. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So depression, like I said, depression is the way of the world. That's the way of the devil. That's where the devil controls our mind. When everything ain't going our way, we get depressed. Come on now, man. Lord,
mm-hmm.
I need a financial blessing. I need a healing. Oh Lord, time going through. You get to a certain level of depression. Like I said, and then if you don't find no way out, then it can get worse and get worse and get worse and get worse.
Uh-huh.
And some people, they're weak-minded and can't handle it. They kill, they say. They commit suicide. So depression
uh-huh.
is real. Depression is real, brother. It's real. It's real out here. And the only way you can avoid and get out in that spirit, you gotta take on the mind of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Your mind got to be renewed. The Bible said we're in this world, we're not of this world. So if you're around here, you in this world, you focusing on things that you see. Things you see ain't your answer. Your blessing is in what you don't see. The Bible says, look to the hills, will come your help. Your help comes from the Lord. And that's what it's going to take, y'all. See, folks, minds got to be renewed. You understand what I'm saying? It got to be renewed. Folks need to repent, deny themselves, and do their first works all over. And if they don't know what their first works is, then all they need to get on their knees, bro. They need to find so they need to that's a 911 emergency. They need to find out what it is. Find out what it takes to be saved and be sanctified and be Holy Ghost filled. Because God done laid all the blessings out, bro. He done did everything
uh-huh.
He said He was gonna do for us. But the problem is we ain't in position. We over here in the left, and our blessings over here in the right.
Uh-huh.
See, the Bible said a righteous man puts the Lord by the Lord. So you know, if you want to walk in righteousness, then you gotta let God order your footsteps. You understand what I'm saying? If He lead and guide you, He ain't gonna mislead you.
That's right.
He gonna lead you right to the promise. See, we driving like I said, it's just like driving down a road. If we turn them headlights off at nighttime, man, we done panic. We done panic. We ain't gonna see that. We gonna have a wreck. You understand what I'm saying? We gonna have a wreck because we get panicked. We get panicky because we can't see.
Yeah.
And that's what the problem is with faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. In order to please God, you gotta have faith, brother. You gotta have faith. So you can't see God. You can't touch God, but you got to believe God is in the midst.
Uh-huh.
Even though you can't see Him, you got to trust Him with your whole heart, with your whole mind, your whole being. You got to trust that Christ died on the cross so that we may have a choice to get it right and make it easy. And we don't have that mind of Christ. We don't have Christ in our heart, brother. We walk around here in the daytime with a flashlight looking for something. How crazy that sounds. Huh? And that's what we do. We walk around here trying to figure out our way of life, brother. And it ain't for us to do. Our life is for Christ to live through us. You understand what I'm saying? He's there waiting with us. Absolutely. That's why he allowed us. Cause you know we're gonna go through. The Bible said we may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. He allowed us to go through certain things so that we can help somebody else. So that we can grow in our faith, so that we can help somebody else that might be going through the same thing. Okay, through our trials and tribulations, okay, we done went through, and we trust God to bring us out, because He bring us to it, He'll bring us through it. You know what I'm saying? And when He bring us through it, okay then we done been promoted to the next level. It's going to be always going to be something else. Every level is a different devil.
Different
level. That level
that's
we
what
just
I was
went
told.
Through. That's right. He's gonna attach. Somebody gonna be drawn to us that going through the same situation that we done been through. So you can't help nobody through something you ain't been through.
That's so true.
That's the blind leading the blind. Absolutely. So that's why He allow us to go through different things, Chauncey, so that we can grow through them. As we grow through them, then we can help somebody. We can help somebody with their problem, with their situation. Because all we got to say is this right here, try Jesus. See, that's the seed planter right there. when they come see you and you tell them, look, bro, I know how you feel. I went through the same situation, but how you come out? I tried Jesus. He did it for me. He can do it for you because he has no respected person. You have no respected person, so if he done it for me, he can do it for you. And I always tell Chauncey, hey, just try him. If he don't do what he say he gonna do, you always can go back to what you were doing and how you was doing it. Well, if you try him like I try him, boy, I'm trying to tell you, whoop, Lord have mercy, you wouldn't even want to go back. Chauncey, I'm not going through this life by myself. No, sir. I'm in the passenger seat, Lord. You take the Jesus take the wheel. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, it's rough out here. It's rough out here. Lord, a lot of people going through stuff. A lot of people in a state of depression don't even know they're in depression.
Yeah, that's true.
You going through
a lot of Because I was looking at it saying, they were saying a lot of stuff that you can tell when people going, you know, the little symptoms, you know, people who get depressed, you can tell them because they're angry and they're stressed out. And you know, they're just drinking and getting high. And, you know, you're like, what's wrong with you? They're like, nuts, but deep down inside, you know, it's just like when we first started, we said we got to show that compassion, love, especially for men. You know, we tend to keep a lot of stuff inside. But, you know, just like I always said on the show, you know, we're not here to keep feeding you scriptures and scriptures and scriptures. You know, I learned that because we here don't mean we can't come down here to talk to them. Because that's what they're looking for. I was at a men's conference today, and they already know we deacons, we ministers, we go to church. But they looking to see the stuff that we've been taught in church, are we going to use it to them, show them how much we love them, show how much we care. When we see them, we're going to speak to them all the time when we see them, or we just going to turn our head. You know, just like I said, when some people, to me, this is my opinion, when some people get drunk, yeah, they cry, but some of them are really crying for help. And then we got people in church, we got people, you know, they turn their nose, oh, they just drunk, you know. They cry all the time. But you got to understand, it might be at that time they really crying out for help. They'll let you know, I can't do this no more. I can somebody help me? But then, so like I said, what if you turn your back on them? Then the next day, they come to you because they know you done been through. They know you don't live that lifestyle that they were there. But they come to you, but you too holy or whatever, to church, you know, doing too much church, that you think they better than him. And you slam the door in their face and might just say, you know what, that's it. So at that time, they just want somebody to listen to them, and you turn a cold shoulder, they might decide, you know what, I might have gone and killed myself. And then you get a phone call the next day or that same night, such and such, through the brains of such and such OD, and they look in, and you know how they go through there and look and see what's what. They got their cell phone in their hand, and they look back through the numbers, and your number is the last one they called. You know, I look at it this way. I listen to when people are really talking. I don't care if they drunk or sober or whatever. If you have that gift of discernment, you will know when somebody's really crying out for help. You truly will.
Chauncey, see, first of all, you got to understand. Folks need to understand. That's what the problem with the world is. We're so judgmental. You understand what I'm saying? We're always to tear somebody down to make ourselves feel better. And so-called Christians don't realize. You went through something. The Bible says you without sin cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's going to do the judging. So who are you to sit there and ridicule and talk about somebody because you don't know their situation or their story? So if you had the mind of Christ and compassion of Christ, then you will find out what that person's situation is. Because of all, Chauncey, if an individual around here getting stone drunk, it's because he's trying to hide some problems. He's trying to deal with some problems. You understand what I'm saying? An individual might drink a drink, and it might taste good to them. They might get a little buzz, But for them to get pissy drunk like that, they dealing with some problems. And that's how people of the world, a lot of them deal with that situation. They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to these things because they trying to hide and suppress what they're going through and not realizing that the situation ain't going to get no better. It's not going to go nowhere. All you doing is adding to the problem. So the individual got a mindset.
Because when you, my thing is, I mean, because y'all, because like when it's all said and done, you don't throw it up. Whatever you were trying to cover, it's still there.
It's still there. It's not going. Yeah. It's not going to go anywhere. So if you got the love of Christ, the mind of Christ, and you love your brother and you love your sister, then you should have some discernment to be able to discern the spirit to understand. Wait a minute now, that person right there is hurting. They hurting. They going through something. That's why they act the way they act. That's why a lot of people lash out, crying, all types of crying, murder, and different things because they miss the love. They going through some situations and don't know no way out.
Yeah.
And then
you gotta look at what some church folk, they see them doing the same thing, so they feel like, well, I ain't going to them, just like you said, being judgmental. And I told somebody one time before, because this person right here said something bad about the church, don't mean everybody in the church is like that person right there. You know, it's the same way. We judge each other in the church as well. You know, and that's why the world...
See, that's just a building. That's just a storehouse. See, the storehouse is just like an emergency room in a hospital. When you go in the hospital, the emergency room, everybody in there sick, right? So when you go in that storehouse, everybody in there sick too, trying to get healed, trying to get well, trying to get into the word so that they can apply the word. The word works when you work the word. So when you, first of all, seek first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness be added upon you, he said seek him first. See, that's what the problem is, Chauncey. People don't seek Christ first. They hang out. We know we talked about this before. They go to a church because somebody invited them to the church, or it might be my grandparents' church, or my mama daddy church, and that might not be where Christ wants you to be. You understand what I'm saying? But because we don't get on our knees and we don't call out to the Father, we don't repent, and we don't seek His mind, His revelation first. Then we end up going somewhere and putting our time and putting our money in a place that ain't where God meant for us to be. So that means it's in unfertile ground. So therefore, if that ain't where God led us to be, you understand what I'm saying? Then we end up sitting in a situation where we ain't getting no type of teaching, no type of training, no type of spiritual growth. Or nothing. Because first he said to test the spirit by the spirit. So therefore you read the word, seek and pray and ask God for the spirit of discernment so that you can test that spirit. Then when you sitting up in a ministry, up on a leader or whoever speaking, then you already got that word in you. You already got discernment of that word. Then you won't fall subject to what that individual in front of you, that false prophet, might be leading you. So then you end up following things that ain't of God. You understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of these churches around here nowadays, I don't know why we shift this way, but it is what it is. A lot of these churches around here, Chauncey, they around here, they scared to preach on sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. You understand what I'm saying? So they're scared to preach on sin because they're so caught up in the business part of the ministry that it's all about the tithes and all about the offerings with them and all about the most members in the church. So they don't want to speak on sin because they're scared they're going to make somebody mad and they're going to leave. So how in the world ain't no way, trust them, I'm going to sit up in the house of the Lord on Sunday all day and call myself a Christian and loving God, and then the rest of the days of the week, the 6 days in the week, I'm going to live like hell. This is how I tell my workers, Johnson. I tell my workers this right here. I said, let me tell y'all something. I said, it ain't what y'all do when I'm here. It's how you carry yourself when I ain't here. That's what moved me. And that's the same thing with God. You understand what I'm saying? You can be up in the house of the Lord or going through it and yes, Jesus, all this, and then the rest of the time, oh, you want to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and think you're fooling God. You're not fooling God. God
ain't fooling nobody.
He knows all things. He knows all things. But that's what these so-called churches around here, they're not preaching on sin. They're not stepping on these folks' toes. You understand what I'm saying? So therefore, when you don't, when you ain't seek God first on direction, the Bible once again says, a righteous man puts his order by the Lord. He'll give you where he wants you to go so that you can get filled and get replenished and get what you need and understanding and wisdom for what you had read. Go ahead, the Bible says, read, study, and show yourself approval. Read, study, show yourself approval. If you don't read, study, and show yourself approval, then how and got the spirit of discernment, then you subject to fall for anything that's in front of you. They're taking parts of scripture, piece here, piece there, piece here, piece there, put together. They done already done laid out a sermon to the point where they done got their demeanor to speak prosperity over your life so they can draw your money. Keep your attention.
Your phone breaking up, Ron.
Can you hear me?
Your phone. Yeah, it keeps going in and out like an echo.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It's better than it was.
Right, it ain't nothing but the devil.
Yeah,
I want his word to come out. That's all. That's all. We bind that devil. We bind that devil right now in the name of Jesus. We bind
him. If anybody out there want to have any comment or add to what we were talking about, we're talking about depression. And depression is, like me and Ross said, is real. It's a demonic spirit. And, you know, some people don't understand that they're depressed and don't even know it. But that's something I read when I was doing some research, too. A lot of people can be depressed and really don't know that they're depressed. You know, what they're in a state of depression. But if anybody out there want to chime in or put any input, what we're talking about depression, joy. You know, we get joy from God. And I got a long list of words, and it says, bind depression, you loose with joy. And that's why I came from the scripture when I first started, Psalm 51:10-12. That's what loose depression is, joy. And we know that we get joy from God. Because, like I said, can't no man, no woman give us joy like God can. So, you know, anybody out there would like to make any kind of comments or, you know, we want you guys on the internet, on a phone call, interact with us. I mean, because this is what the barbershop is all about. We're here to help one another, whether you're a woman or you're a guy. But this is the barbershop, you know. We dedicate this show to men, but you could be a woman in a depression state. You know, we do this for the men, but I also include the women because y'all might be going through some things too that we're talking with the men about, or your husband or your boyfriend or somebody, your male figure, you know, might be going through these things. That's why we ask the women to call in and give your input. If you got any kind of input, you want to give God a praise or like you do in the church, just tell them all this time. Right now, these last 24 minutes, we want you guys to interact with us. This is what the barbershop is. We do this, men do this, when we go to the real barbershop to get our hair, so we talk about anything and everything. So at this time, if you feel like you want to say something or give a praise report, you know, just like Jerome gave his little praise report about baby Jordan and get ready to get married, now's the time, just like the pastor, now's the time for you to open up. We don't know what you're going through, how we're going to be able to help you, because you might be going through some things and we can sit here and pray for you. But when we get off the phone, we can go straight to our war room, or our closet, or we can pray for you. So this is the time to open up. I did see somebody had pressed one wrong, but I believe they done jumped off. But like I say, if you have anything to say, just press one. You know, this is a new thing that God has really laid on my heart for next year. is who you guys should really interact. I think we got one, Jerome. 3179. You on the air.
Hey, Brother Johnson. How you doing, D?
Hey, how the world?
You doing good?
How you doing?
We are doing very good, very good. I was sitting there listening to you guys come in on depression. So it's that's a big area. You start talking about it and start beginning to take, really dig down into it. To understand what depression is, you have to go to the Word as well as also to physically, when a doctor treats someone for depression, is because for the fact is that they see changes within a person's life. And some of the changes that may go on in a person's life is their mood swing. So depression, you know, a lot of times it happens because the fact is that people are overloaded mentally or emotionally. And a lot of times, as Christians, what happens a lot of times, we don't want to deal with the area. But Christ dealt with it when he spoke the word. And it comes talk about from the book of Luke, when he said, the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. So, Deacon Chauncey, a lot of people are depressed when sometimes they get brokenhearted. And we have a lot of people getting brokenhearted in relationships or brokenhearted when, you know, things happen with parents or relatives, they die, or somebody, they may lose a job, and it's maybe not the first job they lost. And then it seems just can't find a job, and they go to the state, that, you know, and they say, woe is me on the inside, and they just don't know where to turn to. A lot of times they turn to alcoholism, as you said. Sometimes they turn to drugs, or sometimes they turn to just, you know, trying to covered up with some other female. Even sometimes when you look at homosexuality, it's a lot of time because sometimes people are depressed and they think somebody else physically can love them out of that situation. They're really not. So what it is with depression, a lot of times, a lot of people, they don't understand it. And by them not understanding it, they can drift for weeks or months and be there for a long time for it. And when they get there, if a person doesn't understand where they're at, it's hard to come out of that shell. It's really hard to come out of that shell. And sometimes even in the Christian world, when some brothers and sisters may be in church and they may be hurt, we call it a church hurt. And what happens in a church hurt, a lot of times people don't know how to reach them and love them, and they're shut down or they're closed down or they're pulled back. And when they do that, what happens a lot of times, depression is there, but they don't really know what it is. And a lot of times when depression is there, there's always an outside spirit. There's a demonic spirit that have worked that kind of web to get them entangled. And a lot of times, because people understand the demonic world, they don't realize that a lot of times the enemy attacks the mind. It attacks the mind, the fiery darts against the mindset. So what happens a lot of times, the painful word that someone will say, most females, especially young girls, when they go through young and they go through physical relationships and they get breakups, they go through two or three breakups, and then all of a sudden they go through a depression. Sometimes they go through anorexia, or sometimes they start have an eating disorder because they're really depressed, so they get overweight. And then the physical body, the heart, everything begin to shut down, or the kidney begin to shut down. They're going to begin to go back and forth to the doctor, and the doctor can't find out what the situation, what the problem is, and really they're in depression and don't even know it. So there's an area there that, you know, is needed in the body of Christ to understand. And prayer is another key of getting people out of depression. When they can really get into with someone that really understand how to get in tune with God. And I believe that, you know, praise and worship is a key to delivering people that are being depressed. If you can get them into a good praise service where they can connect, or get a worship service where the Holy Spirit is really, really moving. Deep down inside, the scripture said this. He said he would get a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So if they're depressed, God will get a garment of praise for the spirit of heaveness. And the spirit of heaveness, you know, it's destroyed by the anointed. Only the anointed can destroy that spirit. Well, a lot of times what happens is they get medicated, and medication don't turn it around. It only takes the power of God to really turn it around, bro.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate your comment, Elder Wilson. We miss you a whole lot, man.
Miss you guys.
Is anybody else out there? I mean, It's like old times, bro. Me, you, and Elder Wilson.
Hey,
it's
been
like old time with these two guys.
Hey,
it's been like old time. Jerome,
hey,
talking to you,
Elder
Wilson.
What's up,
well,
how you doing,
Jerome? I'm all right. I hope all is well with you.
It is. We're flying high in the Lord. Let the Lord just bless us. Yeah.
Well,
I had to come down to,
you are absolutely
to my
right.
basement. I had to come down to my basement. Me and my wife were just sitting there enjoying each other, looking at a football game. So she's looking at a football game with me. But I heard my brothers. I had to just come on downstairs. I can talk.
Look, you hit some crucial point. You're absolutely right. What people need to search for is a healing and deliverance ministry. Because
yes.
you're not in a ministry that's not preaching healing and not preaching deliverance. See, that's where we get set free through our deliverance. And if you're not in a ministry that's not teaching those two, then folks not gonna get what they need. Folks not gonna get set free.
Yeah.
They're gonna be confused. They're gonna leave worse than what they where they came in, bound up, and end up another state of depression because the word is not taught the way it need to be taught. The sound doctrine is not being explain the way Christ wanted to be explained. See, folks don't do like they did back in the old days, have prayer meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? They don't work with people at the altar anymore because people are so content on getting out at a certain time. I've been in service where it's been 5-6 hours long where the anointing came and filled the room where it seemed like we're just in an hour or so. Well, you don't have. It's hard to find those types of services now, where the anointing, like you said a while ago, the anointing what destroys the yoke. I don't care how good an individual can preach, can quote a scripture. If they don't have any anointing, then that's all they just doing. It's just babbling, because the anointing what makes the difference. The devil quotes scripture. He'll call an angel. He knows scripture, but it's the anointing. See what needs to go on today? We need a revival. We need a refreshing. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Refreshing.
Hey,
we need where the Holy Ghost come in and move. Somebody say something?
Can I get in there just a little bit?
You know you can.
Yeah, Ellen Wilson.
Okay. Let me say this too. One of the things is in our churches that we are in, the power of prayer in our local church is a key. I remember coming up how God taught me about praying in the vision of my own life. So then when I went to church, I already knew how to pray. So I just joined in with the saints that knew how to pray. So the key is in our local churches that we build a prayer covering by praying and design prayer. Years ago, when we first came to church, when we first entered the sanctuary, someone would sing a song, and we would get into a prayer posture and prayer position before we did anything. And we would pray sometimes a half hour, just praying and crying out to God and preparing for the service. And that's the need for the body of Christ, is that we bring prayer back into the church like it's supposed to be. The two factors that Satan don't like is praise and worship and prayer. So when you got praise and worship and prayer joined in together, whether it gets God in the atmosphere where the anointing come down in the house. Once the anointing of the Holy Ghost and God the Father and Jesus is in the house, it destroys anything that Satan has sent to oppress the mindset of man, not just the church, of man. See, some people are depressed, it's in the world, and they don't have no deliverance. But we as saints, when we get depressed, there is a deliverance. The blood of Jesus has the power to destroy any yoke that comes against our life. And the same thing for the world, if the world knows how to get in the presence. But in our churches, if we get where we're singing the song until Jesus come in. And then when we sing the song and Jesus come in, then we enter into prayer. As we worship in prayer, the power of the Holy Ghost, it cuts deep down. It goes beyond the mindset. It goes beyond just that mental. It goes deep down in that spirit, man. That's where the enemy depresses people in their spirit. He gets, and he tangles them up in the mind, and they get hurt. through a horse than an enemy tangling them up with a spirit of bondage. That spirit of bondage only can be broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. So what happens is that we'll teach our church, and our churches will be learned to come in the presence of God and then lock in prayer. When you lock in prayer, the Holy Ghost starts revealing in the mindset. Things start flashing in your spirit. Things of the cross, things of the blood, things of the word. And when it starts flashing in your spirit, that means God is working to set you free and entangle you from the web. One scripture said in Proverbs, men are holding by three cords of sin, by the cords of sin. So in Proverbs, it talks about, I think it's the 34th chapter there. It said men are holding by the cords of sin. Sin, it ties you up. It ties you up. So when sin is there and there are no anointing there, then people are in bondage and they're with depression, but also oppression. There's depression, but there's also oppression. Oppression is when you're overloaded. Depression is just when you're just in that hole and you just can't seem to get out. But oppression is when the pressure from the outside is just pushing on you, pushing on you, and pushing on you, and pushing on you, trying to take you and lock you up. But the thing is by the power of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Ghost, as we learn to worship God and sing and praise and worship.
That's the problem right there, brother. That's the problem with today's churches. They don't have time to get in there and pray and get on one accord. There's so much mess going and hypocritical mess going on up in the church that the church can't get on one accord and get in and pray together, fast together, so they can get into the fullness of prayer so that God can come in and change things. That's what the problem is with churches, and that's why so many people are discouraged with churches and don't want to go in churches, because churches ain't operating according to the anointing. There's no anointing in them. They go there and go according to protocol. Ain't no protocol. You gotta have a starting point. But you can come back and say it's subject to change according to the anointing. Folks want to be in, they want a quick fix, and they want to be out. So that's why things can't change in your life, because, like you said, it takes the power of prayer. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all this righteousness be added upon you. You pray to God and get a relationship with God, then you should have the power within you to not be able to sit up under a ministry that ain't equally yoked with your spirit. So therefore, that's why a lot of folks don't have that connection and relationship with Christ. In order to have the power of prayer, you got to have a full relationship with Christ. So you can have the anointing, but the anointing is what makes a difference. The anointing is what destroys the yoke. If you don't have a full relationship with the Father, it ain't going to fall. The power ain't going to fall on you. It's just like reading the Bible. If you don't read, study, show yourself approval, you just read the Bible just like a book. What good is that? You read and study and take that word and apply that word to your everyday living. A lot of folks just read the Bible just like a book. So it's just a waste. It's just like praying. If you don't know how to pray, don't know how to reach the Father, then all you're doing is just babbling. And that's what goes on in a lot of people's life, because they need to up their faith. They need to up their relationship with the Father. That's why people are depressed and oppressed and going through in their situation. Because how can you say you love the Father and the Father loves you, and you doing everything that you can do for the Father, but you still going through in your health? You still going through in your finances. And I'm going to tell you that, because the God I serve, I trust, he said he provided all my needs by all my vows, and I trust him, and I put it all in his hands, and he working out in my faith. So if you got a relationship with the Father and you trust him with your whole heart, he said his faith the size of a mother so he can move mountains. Come on now, really? So when you're going through a situation, then your faith get weak. I don't care how much you pray. If you don't have no power in your prayer, then you're going to continue going through what you're going through. And then they enter that state of depression. They're going through it in mindset because their faith is weak. And churches need to be held accountable. Well, excuse me, storehouses, because the church is in us. The storehouses need to be held accountable. The temples need to be held accountable. So when people come in, you need to be able to give people what they need, teach people how to reach God. The fullness of Christ. And that's not what's going on in church. I don't care how much we pray, if we don't have no power and we ain't on one accord, see, that's the key word right now. one accord. When we are on one accord with the Father and we trust in the Father with our whole hearts and whole mind, what stress? All things are possible through Christ that strengthens me. So therefore, if I believe it, I should be able to achieve it if I put it in God's hands. And that's the rightful, that's the things that's not being taught in ministry, and people going in ministry and sitting in these churches and getting confused. A lot of folks and leaving out worse than they found out, worse than they came in. Because the people are looking and seeking for the word of revelation, and folks are going in and sitting, and these preachers are preaching over their head, trying to impress somebody. You ain't reaching an individual. Then folks get discouraged. Man, Lord, if they try Jesus, I'm trying Jesus the best way I know how, and it ain't working for them, so they end up with worse. And then they end up getting distracted and looking at Brother Tom or Sister Sue in the church, and then they see them out there in the street after church is over and see them living and acting a certain way. So what the heck on? If they living, folks be in church and living like this, same thing I'm doing, why I need to be in church? So then they end up going back to a state of depression, a mindset. The mindset is all back up in the world. Well, darn if I do, darn if I don't. Because leaders, these so-called, see, that's the problem. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. I don't want a called person over me. I want a chosen person. One chosen by God that got the spirit and the mind of Christ, that can rightfully define the word of God over my life, so that I can apply what I read and according to what I heard, so I can apply it to my everyday situation, so it can make me stronger and better, and so I can have a closer walk with Thee. That's what the problem is in the church. These leaders, the elders, you need to be a pastor. You hear me, elder? You need to be a pastor. You need to be a pastor so that you can give what the wisdom that God put in you, so that you can give it to the people. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I understand we got to lead. We got to follow before we lead. We got to help somebody else to get to where we need to be. I understand, going through the process myself. But this word needs to get out. People mind need to be renewed according to what God said. He wanted to be renewed according to how he wanted it done. Through decency and through order. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on with the world nowadays. It's out of order. Christ is mad. Uh-huh. God is mad at the world because the world is out of order. Man is out of order with God. All of us, yeah, we are out of order, and we need to get back in our rightful place. Everything going on in the world, man is held accountable for in one way or another, because Christ left us the head of all the means of the earth. And we need to get ourselves together as man, as a whole, as a agenda. Come together and do what thus says the Lord, so we can come back and take over and get this earth, get this world back in order before Christ come back and end it. Uh-huh. He'll keep sitting back here letting all this mess. Come on, there's too much mess going on in the world, and we sitting back, we call ourselves men of God, we letting this stuff happen.
Yeah.
We see what the problem is. We're so busy fighting one another. While we fight one another, this church got there's too many churches around in the city. Look, some churches got, some cities got five churches on one block. They can't none of them fellowship together.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't competition one another. Can't even fellowship together. And then ain't nobody getting what they need from God, from these churches.
Amen.
It's a division, and then the devil come in, manipulate, speak right on in on us, end up, one person come in, come out, we don't want prayer in school and all this thing, all these different things, we taking God out of this, taking God out of that, and whatever the case may be, and so therefore that's why we're going through what we're going through in the world. Now to the point now where we can't just put our children, now in our children, we get put the power, do we let the government come in and put the power in the children's hands, or we put our hands on them, they call a law on us. Now look what's going on. The biggest mess you've ever seen. Kids right here killing one another. Y'all see it all on Facebook where this boy was sitting there threatening the teacher, pick the chair up like he going to hit it, just terrorizing the classroom. One of them I seen got to fight with the principal or teacher, whoever it was. I mean, come on now, really? All this mess going on in schools where the grown-ups are scared of the kids, and the kids is disrespectful and don't even respect their elders. See, the Bible says, honor thy mother and thy father, and their days should be long upon this earth. See, first of all, they honor their mother and their father, so that's why you hear these kids dying all at an early age, because they disrespectful. Uh-huh. And God don't like ugly, and He holding us men
accountable. Yeah. Man. Boy, I wish we could go on for more. Well, it's like old times, boy. I'm sitting back enjoying the conversation myself. But, like I said, Elder Wilson, you are always welcome to the barbershop.
Yes,
you don't even have to have you don't even have to have no invite. You know how we do. You always welcome. You know, because I've learned from me to you, I appreciate your wisdom, because you have helped me out a lot. And I miss you doing the men's ministry, but I know you're just a phone call away, but it's good to hear you today. It is.
Yes, sir.
It's good to hear you today. And like I said, I thank you for the things you have instilled in me. Has become the man that God created me to be. And
yes, sir.
I thank Jerome for being a true friend.
Amen.
Like I tell the people on the radio, when you got two brothers that you can, there's a phone call away and you can go to them and they there to help you, that's what it's all about. That's why I thank God for giving me this assignment to do the barbershop, to show the brothers, this is what real brothers do. This is what Christian brothers do. Yeah, we say and sanctify. We still have fun. We still support one another. We don't have no division between each other. That's why I don't have no problem when these two guys come on my show, because I know we're going to give it all 100%. We're going to give it to you real, but we're going to show that love and compassion. That's the reason why we do this. Like I said, I thank these guys. I thank all the listeners who called in. I thank all the ones that's on the internet that came in. But the barbershop is still here. Don't get it twisted. Amen. We ain't going nowhere. But this show is ordained by God, and it's covered in God's blood. You got three godly men out here who love each other, and we love our brothers that's lost. We even love our brothers that's in the church that's lost. Come back again. We here for you guys. Like we always say on the barbershop, God loves you and I do too. But I got a new saying for you people out there. God, family, and relationship.
Those three.
That's what
like
God, family, and relationship. With that being said, y'all have a blessed night, a good week. I'll talk to you guys later. This is from Barbershop. Peace.
Peace. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.